We have already left for vacation. Please leave a message at the beep. No.
Yeah. You're going to get some weird shows this week.
Just warning you. Historically,
and this should be different how?
Yeah. Pre-vacation week will either be awesome or just awful. Who can say? StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Yeah, I could, just because I'm not really paying attention, I could sound like Miss Utah from the USA pageant. This is, ladies and gentlemen, your future Republican vice presidential candidate in the Miss USA pageant.
Yes.
Last night. This is going
to
be me this
week.
But
first, the question that's posed to her.
Right, here we go.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to...
Oh boy.
Figure out how to create a job.
Okay.
That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Utah. Thank you, Utah. Oh, Utah must be so proud this morning. Thank you, Utah. Okay. We need to better our education.
Also better to
men. And men are in charge of better education. And that's a Utah.
That's why we're not earning the same, because dummies like you. That's
a very Utah answer, though. Yeah. Men are in charge of
this. We're in charge of this, so I don't really know why.
I'm going to ask my sister wives.
Jim Louise.
Well.
Oh, boy. Okay.
They wouldn't have that problem if it didn't exist.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart. God bless her.
Oh, look, it's in Sligo, Ireland.
Oh, boy. Also, too.
It's in Sligo.
Okay. Oh, the president in Ireland. Is that what you're referring to?
Northern Ireland.
Oh, sorry.
That's a different country.
Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, they had a whole war about that, and Northern Ireland and Ireland are two different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Northern Ireland is it's complicated because it's also one of the four provinces of Ireland. There's
County Cork.
No, those are the counties.
No, I don't know.
Are you going to be in the Mr. USA pageant? Are you okay?
I'm tired.
All right. All right. I know, because we go on vacation.
Vacation!
Right.
Yes.
Yay. And you know what? Audra has sent us, as she does, Jim, one of her very, very overwrought goodbye songs before. She's just getting ready, preparing herself emotionally for us to leave for vacation next week.
It's that time again.
Oh, dear.
It's vacation time for Stephanie and the Mooks. Wherever you're going, we wish you well.
Oh, boy.
Wherever you're heading, we know you have to go.
Yes.
Just one word I'll advise before you hit the road. Don't talk to strange ladies in airport bars like you did once before.
Can I kiss you?
And even though it kills us to go. You on radio or TV, we all will survive. So farewell.
Wow. It's only a week.
Wow. We're
leaving popsicles.
Yeah. And the most fun babysitter ever.
Right?
Survive.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So
Audra.
I was going to say that.
Audra and Minneapolis.
The four provinces of Ireland are Ulster, Leinster, Munster, and Connacht. But Ulster is also part of United Kingdom, whereas the other three are not.
All right. Now we can move on.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. all right. So, wow. Lots to get to. The Syria?
Yeah.
That's not sure that's the best idea.
No.
From
what I gather, the Russians are supporting one side and we're supporting the other.
And didn't we do that before
proxy
in Vietnam?
War. Right. Proxy war. Isn't that nice? And then
and Afghanistan,
too. And that worked out so well.
It happened in Afghanistan.
I always feel like when a well-known Southern belle, Lindsey Graham, is on Meet the Press acting particularly butch, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, also, McCain has been demanding that we arm the rebels or whatever, and so we say we're going to do that, and he says, well, that's not enough. Now we need to have a no-fly zone and all this.
Right, okay. Can we just talk about that for a second? So, a no-fly zone when there's such a mix of elements on the ground. It's like someone was saying, that's not even effective.
No.
Like, who do you bomb? It's or right. who do you... I know. I'm like, how does a no-fly zone work in this kind? And we were saying that there, it doesn't seem like there's good options. So what is it? Hezbollah and Iran are behind Assad. And then the group, the people that we're backing, there's al-Qaeda elements there. So I'm like,
North Vietnam was a no-fly zone for John McCain.
Like sweeping up all our data, but we're giving al-Qaeda weapons?
I think he just said the words no-fly zone to appeal to Lindsey Graham. It turns him on.
Too. Right. Oh, he gets all Top Gunny.
That's how he answered his scruff woof.
Maverick.
The target rich and violent.
No, call me Goose. Play volleyball on the beach.
Wow.
All right. Don't you want to now just green screen their faces on the in the volleyball scene from Top Gun? I do. Running toward each other in slow motion. Oh,
I don't want to see John McCain shirtless.
No, no, yeah. It's somebody else's body, but his.
On Val Kilmer's body?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Oh, well, I don't know what it looks like now. But
Val Kilmer? Not quite what he was in
the
mid-80s, nor am I.
Right.
But.
No, none of us are. None of us are. Well, hair-wise, I'm better, but, you know. Otherwise, I'm not going back to the old nose.
I was a fat kid.
I am not going back.
I was a fat kid in the 80s, so. A little better,
still?
Maybe.
Oh. I was a fat adult. No, I wasn't. I was good in the 80s. Now I'm a fat adult.
All right. You see what we mean by vacation week? It's just already way off the tracks already. All right. So, yeah, I was reading various analysis of Syria, and I don't know. I mean, this whole even Clinton's calling him a wuss. First of all, I'm glad, you know, we took some time to talk, you know, determine about the chemical weapons. I still don't know if this is a good idea. This has, as you were just saying, it's like flashbacky, isn't it? As to, you know, like, mm-hmm. Iraq and other sectarian conflicts where you're going,
I know. Let's send Osama bin Laden in to Mujahideen to throw the Soviets out of Afghanistan.
And right now, Obama and Putin are at the G8 summit in Northern Ireland, and they're going to have words about
Say
this.
Say it with me.
Right.
Awkward.
Yes.
Awkward.
Because nothing
Proxy
says
war.
Peace like Northern Ireland.
Right. Right. Where better to...
you know, Representative Peter King supported the NRA. He's a terrorist supporter.
Hmm.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
The IRA.
Obviously the NRA. Yes.
Well, so headline in the LA Times this weekend, getting U.S. weapons to Syrian rebels will take weeks. Details on which weapons Obama will send the rebels have not been disclosed. But even before that, John McCain says they are not big enough.
Right.
He's kind of a size queen.
They're too light, he said.
Right.
Talking about Lindsay?
What?
No.
Administration officials.
Those loafers are too light. What?
We don't even know what we're talking about. It's pre-vacant. We cannot be. The Stephanie Miller Show will preemptively not be held responsible for anything that is said this week.
Help
when
me.
We are historically running on fumes, and we don't even know what we're saying. Administration officials have expressed concern that these sophisticated weapons could fall into the hands of Islamic extremists, threatening civilian and military aircraft. Excuse me. I am also
drunk.
Yes. Political and military divisions within rebel ranks might also prove problematic to U.S. attempts to influence the conflict, did you think?
Yes.
Some analysts said.
Let's go in.
A veteran Syria watcher. Is that his full-time job, really? Is that
I'm
like a girl
watching you, Syria. I'm watching you.
Is that like a girl watcher, but just Syria?
I'm only seeing
you, Syria.
I'm not serious about anyone else, Syria.
I'm not watching anyone else, I swear to God. I was not looking at Turkey.
I wasn't.
Turkey? I was not looking at Turkey. I am only watching you.
Turkey?
I can only see you, Syria.
I only have eyes for you.
Yeah, this is like usual, only worse. Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of vacation weeks. All right. This analyst was saying it's unlikely to do much to turn the tide of the war. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the other thing is the jury's out on what this is going to do. And anyway, he said he has to turn these Keystone Cops into a fighting force that's competent and not going to carry out massive human rights violations. There are thousands of rebel groups, and so far they've shown nothing but incompetence. Several officials have made similar arguments over the last 2 years in the administration. Interestingly, Susan Rice and John Kerry have argued for a more active U.S. role in Syria. So now John McCain will love Susan Rice. Now John McCain and Lindsey Graham... will be like, oh, we've always said that we love her. Can we go back and confirm her? Why can't she be Secretary
Where
of State?
Where is woe of these days?
Why?
Yeah,
after you. No, you first. No.
After you. No. No, you first. Thank you.
Have always loved that Susan, that hockey Susan Rice.
Wow. Right. Wow.
Benjamin Rose, Rhodes, the White House Deputy National Security Director.
I can't give you a specific timeline or itemized list of what that assistance is and when it will get there.
Yeah, that probably would, first of all, not be wise.
Right.
Here is what we're sending.
And here's when it will arrive.
Yes, and exactly where you might find those
weapons. Here are the coordinates.
Right. Okay. Benjamin Rhodes again.
We certainly don't think it's in our national interest to introduce U.S. troops. We need to be humble here about our ability to solve a problem like Syria, certainly on our own.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? Syria?
Yeah, or Syria.
Or Maria.
Syria's her sister.
Right.
Wow.
All right. Senator
Syria, Maria, and Lindsay.
Senator John McCain.
For us to sit by and watch these people being massacred, raped, tortured in the most terrible fashion. Meanwhile, the Russians are all in, Hezbollah is all in, and we're talking about giving them more light weapons. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, would it be better is just go in guns a-blazing. Just don't look back. Just go
don't
forward.
Think you,
just
go.
Go new now. Die. Hurry. Kill. By the way,
we have to strike now, sir. Annihilate. Kill.
Right.
Kill.
Yes.
Kill.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Here's a not so fun fact: the Syrian revolution isn't democratic or secular. What John McCain was just talking about, the more than 90,000 fatalities, are the result of a civil war, not genocide. Hmm. And human rights violations have been committed on both sides.
So which side do you pick?
Right.
Which side are you on, boys? Which
Senator
side
McCain
are you on?
Again.
We've determined that Bashar Assad has killed about 100 to 150 people with chemical weapons. How did he kill the other 93,000? What the president did was he gave them a red line, but gave them a green light to do everything else.
Oh, hush, Grampy!
I think it's lawn darts or slip and slides. I think that's how he took them.
Yeah, most were lawn dart accidents. Okay, at any rate, yes, as I just said, it's a civil war, not genocide, and he knows that. Here we go again. It's just the same people and the same rhetoric that have still never apologized for every wrongy McWrongerson thing they said about Iraq, right?
Yep.
All right. I mean, don't you think on these Sunday shows, you know, Senator McCain, we feel it's only fair to present you with all of the things you're incredibly wrong about on Iraq first before we get your advice on this latest ill-advised.
I'm sure David Gregory's all over that.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's on it like a...
Yeah, but too bad McCain will only go on Meet the Press and on Fox News Sunday.
Right.
He won't go on an actual show that will ask him actual questions.
Right. Like, for instance...
Stephanie Miller.
Grampy, come on. We got pie. Okay. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back with more on this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, just walk like her. Don't dance like her.
Yeah, stagger, whatever you want to do.
Stagger
like me. 23 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Wix. Holly in Salt Lake City on the beleaguered Miss Utah. Hello, Holly. Hi, Holly.
Are you there? Okay.
Yes.
First of all, we're not all that stupid in Salt Lake City.
We know that.
Okay. Please, we're not all that stupid. We have a lot of, believe it or not, there are liberals in Utah.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Who is it? The mayor of Salt Lake City, Rocky.
Rocky, yeah. Anderson.
Rocky. Anderson. He's a great liberal.
Oh, he's a great liberal, and there was a woman.
We did not mean to imply that only liberals are smart, did we, Chris?
No, we did not.
Go ahead.
Just to prove that.
Anyway, I just wanted to say, and there's a woman who named Ty Markham, and I want to give her a shout out to her because she's running against a guy who's trying to steal all the federal lands.
Oh dear!
Wow.
Oh dear! Yeah, that's just rude. That is just rude.
Yeah.
Let's go to Wes in Nevada. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wes.
Hey, how you doing there this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that It all gets back to money. We should go back to Eisenhower, you know, and he warned us about the military-industrial complex.
That's right, he did.
And here we've got these politicians screaming war.
That's right.
A lot of them have never been anywhere. At least McCain actually served. But,
yeah.
You know, most of these guys are draft dodgers, for God's sakes. Who are we kidding here?
Yep.
And we're letting these... Why in the heck are we letting any of these people... I thought the law was that if you're delving into politics, you have to pay taxes. Why aren't these guys being made to pay taxes? All of them.
All right. All right, Wes.
What, Congress people don't pay taxes?
Right.
Is that what he said?
Right.
They kind of
right. He made very good points about the military-industrial complex and war, because you know what war means. War means death.
Death stalks you at every turn.
What is it good for?
You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. So, death! Oh, where were we? Death!
All right. Very rude of you, Chris, to imply there might have been drinking involved there. I mean,
you're
really?
The first one that made
really?
The drinking sign, the
I
international
your,
sign of I'm drunk.
I beg your pardon. People that are only listening on the radio have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you just announced it.
You are just
it.
Rude.
You announced it. Sheesh. I didn't say glug, 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 glug.
Every time I go out to the bathroom, you do the same thing to me. To
well,
Jim.
Yes.
I'm Bob in Florida. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how are you doing, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Well, I'll tell you. I don't believe 150 people were hit with gas from Syria. All right, because if 150 people out of 90,000 doesn't sound right. If they were going to use gas, they would have a much larger number than that. They wouldn't just hit 150 people. This is a phony number to get us involved in the war.
Mm.
And they did it in the Gulf of Tonkin and in Vietnam, and they continue to keep doing this garbage to get us into wars.
Yeah, well, I could be. Don't know about that, but there's a good piece in the New York Times that I was quoting from, but you know, that just makes a good point. Interventionists tend to detach their actions from longer term consequences, and we were saying that what John McCain we just played before the break is untrue. He's like, oh, you know, what happened to the other 90,000 people? How did they get killed in a civil war, not in genocide? I mean, that's the problem with this. And you know, as they point out, human rights violations have occurred on both sides. This is why. It's a bit of a sticky wicket, as we like to say.
You forbade me from saying that.
Well, that's why, so I could say it.
Oh, I see.
All right.
Because she's such a cricket fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So we will be more on Syria and, of course, Rude Pundit as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll admit, there are dark, sordid little corners of the internet where the name
Stephanie Miller
is whispered in hushed tones.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. It's Monday. You know what that
means. Lee Poppet, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay, so I cannot read anything in the first post about liberal NSA apologists, not because I am the aforementioned, but because it's too dirty.
Oh.
And I did not see that coming at rudepundit.org.
If you skip the first three or four paragraphs.
It is entitled, Liberal NSA Apologists Can Take It All and Want More. And it's a story about a giant. Anyway, but the point is... You say whenever someone who is presumptively on the left defends or brushes off the NSA FBI spying, they become the woman in the aforementioned incredibly dirty joke that you've told.
Which is, by the way, is a sexist, awful joke, and you know you shouldn't read it if you're easily offended.
Right.
But you shouldn't visit my blog if you're easily
offended.
Right.
You probably shouldn't listen to this show. If you're...
No.
Probably not.
No. Particularly during this segment. Now, Rude. You know, obviously we talked last week, and You were saying that, first of all, if you didn't know this was going on, you're dumb. But secondly, I mean, one of the things you say is, if this was a Bush or a Nixon, would you be so blasé about it? I've been honest enough to say no. I mean, there is enough hypocrisy to go around, you know. But, I mean, Bill Maher, who I don't know what, again, there's been some strange bedfellows on this issue, but it was interesting. I was watching, it was actually last week's, and he said, you know, well, the big story is this NSA thing. And then he said, well, I'm reading from the USA Today, and they're, you know, blah, 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 and this massive amount of data. This is entitled, this is from 2006. Panel, your move. I mean, what, you know, he goes to the point, what is new about this?
Right. But what I think is, I think what, the reason why this is getting so much traction, well, first of all, the biggest reason is because Obama had actively spoken out against the program in 2007, right. 2006. And so
okay, let me just say, do you think you do not see different intelligence and perhaps make different decisions when you're the president than you do when you're a senator?
Which
is what he said.
Do we in retrospect forgive George W. Bush?
No. because as you say, here's my favorite thing you wrote. You said, Rude Pundit doesn't buy the whole Obama is as bad as Bush bull floating around. When Obama starts an illegal war, authorizes torture, and crashes the economy, we can talk. But the institutionalizing of mass data gathering in order to spy on Americans, yeah, that's part of the Obama legacy, which, you know, you're right. But go ahead.
This is not to say that he is as bad as Bush, to say that there is one area that he is following in Bush's footsteps, and in some ways has our ability to do surveillance on a massive scale has increased, so has that surveillance.
Well, you know, you probably saw Michael Hayden right on some of the Sunday shows in last week, who was the head of this under Bush, and right. I mean, he said, look, Obama is doing this with much more transparency than we did, and he's doing it with more everything Obama has said, with more oversight and more checks and balances and all of that. Again, you can have the whole discussion, should we be doing any of it in the first place? But look, I had Alan Grayson on last week, who you know I love.
Right.
And we have to have agitators and great liberals like that. But his bill basically, you know what I mean, when the president said you can't have 100% security and 100% privacy, his bill would give us 100% privacy. You know, just I don't think it's workable. And
I said last week, you know, my take is this is happening. We now know it is happening, that it's not going to happen. And even if they craft a bill, believe me, there will be some way around that bill to do the kind of surveillance. For me, it's more of a, okay, now what do we do kind of situation. I don't think the conversation actually can be had of how can we stop this from happening? What can we do about it? Instead, it needs to be, how do we ensure that it's done responsibly? And I'm sorry, I don't buy that the FISA court is the responsible way to do it.
Right.
But even though it is, you know, at least a bandage of oversight on this, you know, gaping wound. But for me, that the discussion is what happens now, not how do we put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, there's a lot of talk about government overreach, but I'm more worried about private companies.
Private
companies aren't covered by the Constitution.
Right. And
I agree.
Whatever is profitable, they're going to do, no matter how evil.
Right. And this is where I am. I am, all right, now what do we do? Let's have that discussion. And because the other discussion is over. We lost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and, you know, here's the thing. I was reading in the, you know, the paper, top U.S. intelligence officials said Saturday information gleaned from, you know, these two programs foiled plots in the U.S. and more than 20 other countries. You know, and someone like Jim, I get, is like, you're sort of naturally skeptical of government in general, but you don't really think this has not foiled any terrorist plots, do you?
Skeptical of government. I mean,
I know when they said, oh, it foiled one plot, you're like, yeah, right, sure. But I mean, you don't possibly think that we have not foiled terrorist plots with this program.
I'm sure we have.
Okay. Yeah, Rude? I mean, that's all.
But here's what I want to know. I want them to tell me. I mean, just choose one. Choose one and show me how that terrorist plot was foiled by using this information, and that was the only way that we were going to get that information.
But again,
this is me sort of, you know, arguing against what I just previously said. But
I wasn't going to be rude enough to point that out. That's your job, to be rude.
But there are also some screwy things like the underwear bomber, where the guy went through without a passport or a ticket and was escorted by a guy in a suit and the whole thing was filmed. I mean, you know, that's like really screwy stuff like that.
There's also, I think it was Gail Collins this weekend writing about the guy who was arrested for the Madrid bombing, even though he was demonstrably not in Madrid.
Right. And right, and then some of the 9/11 hijackers who are still alive, apparently.
Right.
Which is,
I mean, let's counterintuitive, face it. We have people on either side of this issue that we trust or we don't trust. When Dick Cheney opens his creepy, crooked pie hole this weekend, you're like, shut up, because everything you've ever said was not true.
Yes,
but I mean,
more surveillance. Send me more videos of children that are being bought. Never mind. This is going to go to a very dark place, and I'm going to stop right now.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to play it for you.
You might call me heartless, and you'd be right.
Yeah, here we go. Here he is.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor. I think he has committed crimes, in effect, by violating the agreements given the position he had.
Yeah.
He was a contractor employee, but he obviously had been granted top secret clearance. And I think it's one of the worst occasions in my memory of somebody with access to classified information doing enormous damage
to
national security interests of the United States.
That'd be awful.
That'd be 9/11, actually.
That'd be awful if somebody were to out a CIA agent during wartime, something like that.
I think somebody ought to shoot him in the face. You know what I love about Cheney is that the older and weaker he gets, the more evil he sounds.
Right.
Yes. I'm sorry, and was he just talking about privatization? That'd be horrible if somebody let a company like Halliburton, say, or Blackwater get involved in, say, some other foreign war. That'd be awful.
Which, by the way,
whose watch would that happen under?
That, to me, is also something that deserves discussion, is the use of private government contractors.
Right.
For surveillance, you know, and I think even some members of Congress are saying, maybe we need people that take an oath of office to protect the Constitution, to be in charge of this, you know, not just in the sense of the whistleblowers, which I think I said this last week, if the intelligence organizations that vetted Snowden didn't figure out he was this sociopath, or there was some writer this week that said, you know, if you take away his girlfriend, he's just like he has the profile of a mass shooter.
What?
Yeah, Jonathan Rauch was the writer who said that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, that means that our intelligence agencies suck if they can't figure out that they're hiring a mass shooter.
Right.
Well, where there's
Rauch,
there's fire.
You know, I was going to say, Rude, going back to your question earlier, I think that they did actually release enough about the New York, subway thing. That does seem like, you know, this program had, something to do. But again, I think that's the other hard thing, is someone was saying, when you're talking about classified stuff, you can't really release every detail of every,
Look at all the things that didn't happen.
But you can't release the details, because that's going to, I don't know. They also said last year fewer than 300 phone numbers were checked against the database of millions of U.S. phone records gathered daily by the NSA. So,
But James Clapper said under oath that, you know, they weren't doing this. So,
He did do a Clinton-esque meaning of is. He did.
Yeah.
He did do that. You're right.
Let me also offer sympathy. I actually have sympathy for Clapper in that situation, because he was asked point blank, you know, can you tell us some classified information?
Right.
And that look on his face of, do I? Now I got to lie.
And he just said, clap off.
Clapper on, clap off.
Can we get a bomb threat in here, please?
All right, Rude.
Firecracker, something. Smoke bomb.
Great bomb. Great stuff, as always, honey. We'll be on vacation next week. See you after that. You'll be on next week, yes?
Yes, with the Magnificent Hal. You know it.
You got it.
Do I have a date with Hal?
You have a date with Hal next week.
Okay. Love you. Love you,
bye.
Honey.
Bye.
All right, bye. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
Yes. is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Please, please do not just like just do away with the urge to say Newman.
Mm-hmm.
When I say, after Wayne Knight joins us now, don't do it! Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. I'm waiting.
Hello, Newman.
Now listen here, you.
Hi, Wayne. Good morning.
Good morning,
Steph. I was saying earlier that I am actually a bigger fan of the thing you do right before you are eaten by the dinosaur in Jurassic Park.
You mean the giant scream?
That's just when you go, so, okay.
A funny thing about that scream is, like, you know, I did that. I on the plane to New York, I'm doing press in New York, and I ran into one of the guys who shot me in the face with goo during that movie.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey, remember me? I go, yes, I do, you bastard. Because it was raining miserably, and they had to jack up the pressure on the gun that they were shooting me with.
The vomit gun.
Shot in the face with a pellet rifle filled with dyed black KY jelly.
Oh, God.
And so I did a take, and then the second take, I did the scream, you know, after he shot me. And Spielberg said, we need a PG scream. That was kind of an R scream.
That was like that was a porn scream.
Ow, quit it. Ow, stop it.
Oh, stop it. Right in the, not in the face. Wayne Knight, you are now on The X's on TV Land Sunday night. Let's see, Wednesday, June 19th. Let's say again.
Yeah, Wednesday the 19th. We're premiering right after Betty White goes live without a net on Hot in Cleveland.
Oh, cool. That's right. They're doing a live episode on Hot in Cleveland. Wow. You're on right after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. Now, The X is a sitcom about three divorced men sharing an apartment across the hall from their female divorce attorney, who is also their landlord, and I'm guessing hilarity ensues.
Well, I sure hope so. Otherwise, it just sounds like a miserable night, doesn't it?
What? Tell us more about the series.
Well, the landlady across the hall and our bad divorce lawyer, apparently, is Kristen Johnston, who had worked with me on Third Rock from the Sun. And one of my cohorts is Donald Faison from Scrubs. The other is David Allen Daish, who did The Starter Wife, and Kelly Stables, who was in 2 and a Half Men. So all of these folks have done sitcoms before.
Yeah,
I'll
say.
And the writing staff as well. So TV Land has thought that why not assemble people who know how to make people laugh and see if they can do it again.
That seems like a good bet. Here's the one degree of Stephanie Miller separation. Kristen Johnson once returned my dog to me in the 90s. She lived in my neighborhood, and I was like, that is so weird. That's the girl from Third Rock in the Sun. Third Rock in the Sun with my dog.
Did you check to make sure that it was your dog? Because she has been giving dogs to people for years.
No, my dog had gotten out, and she brought my dog back. Hey, Wayne, you are, we were saying, you are a prolific tweeter and retweeter. You just tweeted something about this whole NSA thing, about the spying stuff.
I think my political bent is perhaps similar to yours. I have a tattoo of Debbie Wasserman Schultz on my arm, so,
yes.
You know.
I think you just made that up, Wayne Knight. But
it takes a lot of ink to replicate the hair.
That's a lot of hair.
I thought I was the only one. But you're not. The NSA stuff, though, is it's tough stuff, isn't it? There's people on both sides of the aisle that are surprising bedfellows on this one.
Well, what I find surprising is that people are surprised.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, this crap has been going on for as long as I can remember. I mean, we knew it was international. I just think that it's surprising that it's domestic as well. But, I kind of know that when I was able to be photographed by my bank, by the street corner, by the traffic light, things were happening.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, though, Wayne, is they were just talking about that's probably the key reason they caught the Boston Marathon bombers, because of video surveillance. So you're right. It's like,
right.
I mean, you're absolutely right. You go, are we giving up privacy? Absolutely.
But yeah, and that's the justification. I think that, that really what we found is that people in America are intolerant of the vagaries of human life, that sometimes terrorist actions happen, sometimes horrible things happen. And we're just not tolerant of that, so we'd rather give up our freedom, which I find
weird. Ben Franklin is spinning in his grave right now.
Yeah.
We have no information on that, but maybe the NSA does as to whether he's actually spinning. Wayne, you, but you know, it's interesting. We just played a Dick Cheney clip, and we're just like, yeah, when you agree with...
Really, we should get Dick Cheney on TV Land, because that's funny stuff.
Exactly.
I was thinking that guy that shot you in the face with the goo, with the dinosaur goo. You know, that could be a joke.
No, if Dick Cheney had shot me in the face with the dinosaur goo, I'd be dead.
People don't understand there's evil in the world. I know, I look in the mirror every morning.
He's like some sort of creepy, scary character in some film you would be in. He's not even real, and he just gets creepier.
Well, God bless him. He's going to live to be 180.
If I only had a heart, which I don't, literally.
I remember somebody said that about their grandmother. She's too mean to die. It's like could be. Who knows? So, Wayne, The X is on TV Land. It is premiering this Sunday or this Wednesday?
No, it's Wednesday, but... You know, they're very similar those days. There's the one in the middle of the week and one at the end.
Yes, and I apologize for getting those wrong.
That's all right. Just as long as somebody watches. It doesn't have to be you personally, Stephanie, but as long as people do come.
Well, now I feel compelled to watch, particularly because...
Oh, well, good.
Particularly because I'm a huge...
Because I'm going to be following you on Twitter, so I will find out if you...
I know you will.
All right.
Wayne already followed me this morning.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. I will watch because I'm a huge fan. Wayne, great to talk to you. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wayne. There
Yay.
He goes. What a nice guy. He is funny.
He was on the plane with us to Charlotte for the convention.
I wasn't even talking about the scream in Jurassic Park. I like the thing he does before that. He's like, okay, all right.
Okay. Yeah, but that must have been a miserable shoot because it was pouring rain,
right?
And he had to get shot in the face with dinosaur vomit, acidic dinosaur
like
vomit,
dinosaur porn film. Ooh, Don in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. I want to say something about this goofy Syria war that McCain is trying to get us into. I mean, if he succeeds, instead of losing 4,000 GIs. In 10 years, we'll end up losing them in one battle, that many of them. And not only that, there too, it seems like all these so-called war hawks, they all start coming up with the same rhetoric, just like you mentioned, but you know, they're talking about the humanitarian thing. Well, if I recall, Mogadishu was supposed to be humanitarian when Adid was taking all the food supplements from his people and killing them off. We sent a company of GIs in there. 18 of them were killed.
Yeah.
Then there was Iraq. Saddam Hussein, another false comment about having weapons of mass destruction. Well, we get rid of their dictator, and it becomes an unstable environment and opens up a Pandora's box.
Yeah.
And not only that, when we were training them, they turned against us and started shooting our GIs when we tried training them.
Yeah, no, right, right. Clinton may be wrong. Clinton, this may be the Mogadishu,
And then there's Iran, too. Gaddafi, he gets rid of, and what do? They wait for the first excuse to go ahead and attack an American consulate and kill four of our diplomats.
Yep.
And then there's Afghanistan, Mr. Moneybags himself, Karzai.
Yep, gotcha, I gotcha. All right, more on Syria as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. You can tell when we're just days from vacation because we look up at the TV and you blurt things out like...
Corn. David Corn? When did we have corn?
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number.
Now he's never coming back on.
No. Nice job.
Thanks.
Thanks, Obama. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, Mondays is my favorite day because you know why. You know why. It's when you forget to play that.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
I could subsist on a diet of Chardonnay and your tweets almost entirely. You know, we've been talking about Syria this morning, and I thought, you know, I think you're getting the same flashbacks we are to these same, like, hawks that got us into Iraq with some of the same arguments. As you say, besides lying the country into a $3 trillion war, I think it's one of the worst abuses of power imaginable, says Dick Cheney of the IRS targeting. I mean, it really is unbelievable, right, to listen to him.
Yeah, you know, and he's going to lecture us about abuses of power, and, you know, the IRS story hasn't really gone anywhere in a month. You know, the right wing and Fox and everyone is desperately trying to land the whole thing, you know, in the West Wing, and it's just not happening.
There's nothing
over
there.
And over, yeah, over and over again, it's the same stories told by the Cincinnati employees, and that they first, you know, came up with the red flag. They're the ones that started looking at it, et cetera, et cetera. But the Syria thing, you know, again, over the weekend, you know, all these sort of an obvious knee-jerk reaction, knee-jerk criticism from the right, and that's all the people who told us, you know, the Iraq war would be over in 90 days. So, you know, you would think that after that sort of colossal foreign policy failure that they would show a little humility and not lecture a Democratic president about foreign policy.
And I'm fine with them having John McCain on every week, as I was saying, as long as there is a chyron that just identifies that everything else they've ever asked him about has turned out to be wrong.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Was wrong about this.
Right. You say, of course, there should be a debate about White House's Syria policy. It just shouldn't be led by people who said the Iraq invasion would be a 90-day war. Yeah, and that's what I think is troubling, right? We just played a John McCain thing about, oh, you know, he only killed, you know, whatever, 100 people with the, what about the other 90,000? Well, 90,000 died in a civil war, not because of genocide. I mean, that's the problem is, you know, we have these, you know, as you say, these sort of neocons saying, you know, things that were false to got us into Iraq, and here they go again.
And there's this, of course, a certain irony in terms of McCain and others saying, you know, basically arguing with this red line about chemical weapons, right, when, you know, the United States and others have now confirmed there's chemical weapons, and that's what's going to trigger a foreign policy move. And these are the same people who are claiming we should invade an entire country, one of the largest players, you know, in the Near East, because we think they have chemical weapons or they might use them one day. I mean, there's a certain irony in objecting to chemical weapons being at the center of the Obama foreign policy decision.
Yeah, exactly. You say, please, 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 Iraq war cheerleaders, keep lecturing Obama about how his Middle Eastern policy is all wrong. Hashtag thanks.
Again, you know, a little humility would be nice, but no, you know, and that's because the press has let them get away with this. You know, whenever there's foreign policy question, all the neocons who got the Iraq war are immediately ushered onto television or immediately asked to write op-ed pages, opinion pieces, to tell us what, you know, the more American foreign policy should be, even though you just got everything wrong, you know, and you know, in a massive $3 trillion way. So, you know, the reason there's no humility is because the press hasn't held most of these people accountable.
Well, you know, when I'm reading a New York Times op-ed this weekend, and I felt like I was having an Iraq flashback here. You know, one of them, it says the responsible role of a lone superpower is not to pick sides in the civil war. It's to help enable a conflict resolution while maintaining a policy of neutrality. Instead, the U.S. came down on one side of a regional sectarian conflict, inadvertently fomenting Sunni hubris and Shiite fear, the same effects but in reverse caused by America's involvement in the Iraq war. But, you know, like you say, they seem to learn nothing from recent history.
Well, look, I mean, you know, the idea, Syria is obviously a very complicated matter and has been for a year or two now. And of course, no matter what the United States does, there's going to be wide ranging implications. If we sit it out, we're going to fuel resentment. If we get involved, we're going to fuel resentment. I mean, it's the Middle East that's been bedeviling presidents for, you know, more than half a century now. So that's not really new, or that's not a reason to not do something.
Right.
No matter what the United States does, there's going to be.
Well, and it's never enough. Right. It's never power enough for John McCain, never big enough weapons, and you go, hey,
guess
what? We're backing the side that has al-Qaeda rebels involved. Like, you know what I mean? You clearly need to be. And, you know, when he yells about a no-fly zone, as someone was saying, it's complicated what's going on the ground. It's not something you can really do from the air. So it's just, it seems like it's everything is just, it's a way of saying whatever Obama's doing, it's wrong.
Right. Then that's what it comes down to. And it becomes down to, sadly, you know, a sort of knee-jerk partisan response, which in the old days, that partisanship used to end at the water's edge, where there used to be some attempt to coalesce around a coherent foreign policy. Recently that becomes less and less possible because no matter what the Obamas do, whether it's the hotels they stay in when they go over the seas, something trivial or something, you know, deadly serious like Syria, the starting point is, you know, they're wrong. We'll explain why. Even though, again, all of this on the premise that they just came off this colossal, you know, deadly and costly foreign policy failure.
Yep. I know that it was probably tough to suss out some Sean Hannity hypocrisy on, but of course you tweeted about what everybody was talking about. Sean Hannity then, data mining protects Americans. Sean Hannity now, data mining is unconstitutional. Hashtag great video, because that's the stuff that Sean does to people, right? Plus gotcha with video.
Media Matters has this great video last week, and it was so specific and it was so detailed. That's what made it, you know, the whole data mining and the whole NSA, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy. But to see here Sean Hannity talk specifically about the NSA data mining and how crucial it was and how it was such an important weapon in the fight against terrorism when Bush was president.
But now it's completely different.
Right, and they've got the dark music and the haunting soundtrack, and it's unconstitutional, and, you know, suddenly the data mining is, you know, tyranny. It's like, oh, my God, he doesn't even try.
Yeah.
And you know what I think is, the viewers, I mean, they just go along with it, too.
And as Michael Hayden said, you know, except Obama is doing it with much more transparency and much more oversight, many more checks and balances than we did in the Bush administration. I mean,
yeah, right. And as someone who saw it up close, both under Bush and Obama, and he's saying clearly there's a difference. But none of that matters. You know, that's not the story that people want to tell at this point.
Wow. And this one I had missed. You said on the 6-month anniversary of the Newtown massacre, Fox and Friends ignore victims, hype robust gun sales. Because that's the real victory of Newtown. Yeah.
God.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so the 6-month anniversary was Friday morning, I think, and no mention of the victims, no mention of the gun massacre, no mention of any of that. But they kept talking kind of incessantly about gun sales are up and ammo sales are up, and without even,
well, thank God,
trying.
So many kids remain unshot. You know.
And it's just, you know, the idea that, you know, gun sales are good and, you know, this is great and this is, you know, this is what the debate should be about.
Yeah.
Just, you know, no class whatsoever.
Yeah. America. Yeah. Eric, great stuff as always, and some stuff that I'd missed.
There you go.
You alerted me once again. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week. All right. See you, bye. Would you like some of the not so fun facts about Syria?
Oh, by the way,
yes.
We're having some Supreme Court decisions coming down, and none of them have to do with DOMA or marriage or anything like that, but they've released three, decisions on stuff we've never heard of. So.
Oh, good.
Like, puppies are cute.
Right.
One of them has to do with jury rulings, and one of them has to do with Big Pharma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything about internet kitten videos? No?
No, they're expecting five rulings today, but three have come down, so we're still looking.
Although they have ruled that Andy Dick is aptly named.
Right. All right. Thank you, Joe. Okay. I missed that case entirely.
Yeah, Elena Kagan was the holdout on that one.
Right. Okay.
Say she's a fat, never mind.
Yeah,
I was talking about the op-ed piece in the New York Times, some not so fun facts.
Okay.
As I've been mentioning, Syrian revolution isn't democratic or secular. The more than 90,000 fatalities, a result of civil war, not a genocide. John McCain. Human rights violations have been committed on both sides. Moreover, the rebels don't have the support or trust of a clear majority of the population. And the political opposition is neither credible nor representative. Ethnic cleansing against minorities is more likely to occur under a rebel-led government than under Mr. Assad. Likewise, the possibility of chemical weapons falling into the hands of terrorist groups only grows as the regime weakens. Some good points. Mm-hmm. You can agree or disagree. But finally, a rebel victory is more likely to destabilize Iraq and Lebanon, and the inevitable disorder of a post-Assad Syria constitutes a greater threat to Israel than the status quo.
Right.
Again, why it's good to perhaps think some things through,
well,
or perhaps know even the difference between Sunnis and Shiites before you say invade Iraq.
For example. But, yeah, if you have an actual leader to talk to, it's better than a ragtag bunch of...
Right, you know. You're going to perhaps strengthen Iran by invading Iraq.
By
just
the way,
saying.
Iran has just nominated a moderate, or elected a moderate president.
Right,
so
right.
No more I'm in a dinner jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike in Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya, the revolution in Syria involves upending a sectarian political order, and therefore it disrupts the fragile sectarian balance within the region. Absent boots on the ground, supplying rebels with arms or establishing a no-fly zone are half measures that are unlikely to advance an endgame that serves American interests or alters Mr. Assad's chances, a calculus to step aside, all the while intensifying the lethality of the conflict without contributing toward a decisive end. More important, by arming the rebels, Mr. Obama is not only placing the U.S. in an open proxy war with Russia and Iran, that's going to be awkward at the G8 with Pooty Poot, but also raising the stakes and consequently jeopardizing broader and more valuable American interests, empowering American-favored rebel forces to confront the influence of the hardline Islamist groups that are also fighting against Mr. Assad may backfire and intensify rivalries, causing the fault lines of the civil war to break down even further and turn the increasingly dominant hardline Islamists against Western-backed rebels. Mr. Assad would then be fighting an insurgency that's fighting itself. He ends by saying, Mr. Obama would have been wise to make a forceful diplomatic push first before succumbing to the naivete of his pro-intervention critics. Intervention in Syria won't end as Kosovo did for Mr. Clinton. Syria is like Iraq, except worse. Yikes. So that's kind of a dark view of what might happen, but, you know, I think it's why, when you hear a lot of the same themes that we heard before we went into Iraq by a lot of the same people, it's time to hit the pause button, shall we just say, and think that through.
All Four decisions have come out. We're still waiting for one more.
Okay, thank you.
So we're on, Twitter is just like on pins and needles right now.
Yes. All right. We will be back with all of the latest.
Grumpy cat is not really grumpy.
Right. All the latest on the Supreme Court.
Ezra Klein tweeted, Supreme Court, I'm really happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish, but June 2012 had the most exciting decisions of all time. That was that Kanye West joke?
I get it. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tony in L.A. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I was just going to say, first of all, I just got to say, John McCain needs to sit down and have 2 feet. He gets on my nerves, but I mainly called you to talk about how naive I think a lot of people are being about this whole NSA thing. Come on. I mean, Jim can tell you about the counterintelligence program of the 60s. Being, you know, white America is once again having a black experience, so get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
right now, I can...
A friend was saying this weekend, I think it's more, you know, technology than anything. That's one of the things they were talking about, even just in the last few years. It's just gotten more high-tech is what's happened, because technology is... Yeah.
I mean, right now, I could get on Google if I had your address and look and see where Fred went to the bathroom this morning in your yard. I mean, anybody can get on the net and do that. So my whole thing is you just got to live your life. Like they said in the movie, we can't handle the truth. We don't know a lot of things, and I don't want to know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think get over it, move on, and you can't have everything both ways. You just can't.
Yeah,
that's the world we live in.
Well, I mean, I think it's the thing the president said, but mostly is you can't have 100% security and 100% privacy, and it's I think we're arguing over the balance right now, you know.
Exactly. And what can you do? I mean, because as I said, Jim will tell you about that program, it's been going on for a long time. It's a long time. And you can't expect, you can't read minds. Where do they think they get this information from? You can't get it in anybody's head.
Right. And,
you have to look at patterns. Like
so
they
far.
Said.
Right, and they were saying, obviously, this weekend, right. that, clearly this has thwarted terrorist plots. I don't think there's any reasonable person that can think this has not thwarted any plots. And
exactly.
I think, in Thomas Friedman's piece that I was quoting, a lot of people agreed with that look, what's going to take away the most freedom? If there's another 9/11, I mean,
Right, exactly. So what are you worried about somebody, if you're not doing anything, why would you even really care?
That's a slippery slope, though, if you think you're not doing anything wrong, but unless somebody decides you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
but like I said, with the counterintelligence program that went on in the black community, a 5-year-old in the hood can tell you who the dope man is, but for some reason we can't quite figure out how the drugs are getting in the country. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you. As I was saying, last year they say fewer than 300 phone numbers were checked against the database of millions of U.S. phone records gathered by the NSA in one of its programs. Senator Saxby Chambliss, by the way, Republican of Alabama on Snowden.
He needs to look an American jury in the eye and explain why he has put American lives in danger.
June in Wisconsin on Snowden. Hello, June.
Hello. Well, first of all, I got to tell you, I just love you.
Thank you.
Love you. Love you. You're sharp.
Thank you.
You're witty, and you're right on point.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. No, you know what? This NSA, okay, I am not upset because the government is monitoring us. I've known it all along. That's what they do. But what bothers me is the treason behind the guy releasing the secrets. I mean, who is this person that you say, I don't think what they're doing is right, so I'm just going to let the whole world
know. We do need whistleblowers, though.
June, we're going to get this audio for tomorrow, but Bill Maher last week, said, the big story is the NSA and all this data gathering, and I'm reading from the USA Today and blah, 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 and this is happening, and it's from 2006. And he said, panel, your move. I mean... Right? I mean, that's what we keep saying, is this is not something new, that he's blown the lid off. That's what classic whistleblowing is, and it's an argument that we should be having, and we are having about, the degree of this, but it's not, anyway, I love this headline. Most senators skipped a classified NSA briefing to head home early. All the ones that were screaming about that they haven't been briefed properly.
Right.
Yeah.
That pissed me off so bad.
Many senators and Congress members were taken off guard, or at least acted like it, by last week's revelations. So when the NSA finally decided to hold a classified briefing about their spying program, one could imagine members of the Senate would make sure to be there so they could learn how the programs are helping or not fight terrorism. Unfortunately, only 47 of the 100 senators came to the briefing Thursday afternoon, the rest opting to take a long Father's Day weekend.
And which party were the...
They briefed a whole lot of empty chairs in the secure, bug-proof room. Dianne Feinstein said, even now we have this big briefing. We've got Alexander, we've got the FBI, we've got the Justice Department, we have the FISA court here, we have Clapper there, and people are leaving. So, what I'm saying? Just
oh, my God.
Shut
throw
your
all the bums out.
Shut your pie hole, all yous.
I think we should suspend their pay if they're not going to do their job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is patently not doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have time to go on TV and scream about it.
Yeah.
And how, Obama bad, the government overreach, scary. The briefing, no, I did not.
But even Democrats skipping it is inexcusable.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, we will update you on what is coming down from the Supreme Court as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
You broke up with
Stephanie Miller.
By text?
Me plus you equals frowny face.
Yeah, you can't call her.
I know.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Supreme Court rulings coming in. However, nothing on DOMA or Prop 8.
Yep,
Thursday at 10 would be the first, time that might happen or not.
They released five decisions today, none of them on DOMA or affirmative action or voting rights.
Okay.
Except the Arizona proof of citizenship law has been struck down, so therefore it's been struck down in the five other states that had it as well.
Uh-huh.
So there you go.
Good news.
Uh-huh.
They've also ruled that bacon is delicious.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks, Jim. 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Scalia was on board for that.
He almost lost Thomas on that, but reeled him in. Harold in Texas. Hi, Harold.
Hello. Yeah, I like your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it. But I was calling because I am a former NSA employee.
Oh. Ooh.
I worked back between 1968 and 1978.
Hmm.
And back then they were just developing the PCs and all this right around the time I quit. But anyway, we have been doing what this guy is talking about. We've been doing it since then. I mean, I was military, we set up listening posts over in foreign countries so we could intercept, the Russians, the high-level Russians, and all this kind of thing.
Harold, don't you think that's what I was saying, that it's more technology that has evolved to such a degree? I was reading a story today about how right after 9/11, even back then, remember Microsoft was the biggest, company in terms of email and all of that. They were, asking for data. They sometimes had to hand deliver it to the government. It's just that what they were saying is since then, one of the big things is just the technology has gotten so much more streamlined.
Yeah, when I was working... I was working in the foreign department, of course. Toward the end, I was making up the blue book for the National Security Council. But anyway, my clearances were top secret, code word. And then you had top secret, no foreign, which meant, no foreign nationals. And then GCHQ, Australia, Canada only. Everything was classified like that.
Yep.
They got this thing on GCHQ now.
Yeah.
I mean, of course we've been sharing information with them since the 50s.
Right. Yep. Harold, thank you. Interesting perspective. Yes, somebody, Jim, was talking this weekend about, was it Hoover that ordered, they had to, go physically put the recording machine under Martin Luther King's bed in the hotel room to, record, whatever. So, yeah, technology. Hey, have you noticed that Louis Gohmert is kind of a...
Gohmert?
Right, yes. Louis Gohmert accuses the FBI of aiding the Muslim Brotherhood. They want Sharia law, not our Constitution.
Right.
What is this?
On the House floor on Friday, just in case you missed it, Texas Representative Louis Gohmert accused various federal agencies, aiding Islamic terrorists.
And why would they do that?
Well, because it's Gohmert time.
My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert.
This administration has so many Muslim Brotherhood members that have influence.
Louis Gohmert time, when his IQ is not high, he should shush right up, because he's not a real bright guy. When his future has come, he's got Muslims on his mind. Have a drink every time, he says Benghazi, you'll stay drunk all the time. If your daddy's rich, he'll suck up like he should. If your daddy's black, you're in the Muslim Brotherhood. In the house he whines, we go fishing for a crime. We're always happy, cause we're living our right-wing philosophy.
Right. Okay.
So, of course, we were supporting Islamic terrorists when we were funding the Mujahideen to throw the Russians out of Afghanistan and help create Al-Qaeda.
Good taken.
Rose in Albany. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I have one question and one question only, and then you could probably send it to your viewers.
Okay.
I am just wondering, when did we vote for John McCain and Dick Cheney into office?
Well, Dick Cheney is done now, so he might want to hush now.
And the people of Arizona, they did vote John McCain into their office. So he does have a say.
Whatever.
He has a 1 in 50 say in the Senate.
How's that? What do you think they would have said if a Democratic senator went into a foreign country to criticize the president's policy?
I know. But he's mastered the soundbite, and so... You know, Sunday morning shows call him, and he says yes.
Right. Hey, looky here, everybody. It's the John and Pam Show in Ohio. Hello, John and Pam.
Good morning.
Good morning, kids.
Hi, baby dog.
Hello.
Hey, you know, the Cold War's been over since 91, and that's when Russia decided they wanted to cut off Berlin to the world. And now it looks like Russia wants to try to cut off Syria and get us involved maybe in possibly another Cold War. Or the thing is, we hadn't learned when we aided the Afghanistan Taliban and that and everything when Russia was fighting them. So apparently we're not learning from history.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's Pam.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of which, how about this article? Yes.
He was sending the phone to Pam.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, Pam, I'm sorry.
Don't do anything about it. I mean.
Speaking of learning things we don't learn from, what?
Mm-hmm.
Great piece in the LA Times. Europe rethinks its pursuit of austerity.
About time.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why? Why do we keep pretending like we don't know what works and what doesn't work, whether it's here or around the world? European Union leaders are beginning to acknowledge that cutting spending too much too fast to solve the continent's debt crisis is crippling nations.
Wow, who could have seen that coming?
It's almost like Fox News is learning the wrong lessons from austerity in Europe. Yes, this piece saying, after years of unrelenting austerity, Europe seems to have turned a corner on its debt crisis right into a dead-end street. Since the turmoil erupted in 2009, countries from Ireland to Greece have focused almost exclusively on slashing budget deficits and debt as the road back to economic health.
And
it sounds so familiar.
Spectacularly. Badly.
Prodded by Germany. Germany again.
Aye.
And its insistence on fiscal
virtue. You will
virtue.
Be prodded by Germany or you will like it. They're good at that.
Yeah. Governments elsewhere have fired workers, chopped welfare benefits, and shelved big-ticket projects, turning the continent into what some call austerity land. But officials are discovering something that many people know already. Crash diets seldom work and often makes things worse.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan.
Austerity land's my least favorite part of Disneyland.
Right. Right. Yeah. Very Spartan. Very. The punishing spending cuts have stifled consumer demand and economic growth, not spurred it. The 17 nations that share the euro are now stuck in their longest collective recession since the currency's creation more than a decade ago. As their economies shrink, countries have seen their debt ratios climb, not fall, the exact opposite of what Eurozone officials said would happen. Just like all the people here that are wrong, and that have been wrong all the time, about trickle-down and
the guy who proposed the euro was a supply-sider here in the U.S.
Right.
So, big surprise.
And in countries such as Spain and Greece, where a majority of young people are out of work and increasingly out of hope, the prospect of lost generation looms uncomfortably large. New statistics just released the unemployment rate across the Eurozone is at a record of 12.2%. Having austerity be the main focus across Europe has been a mistake, said one chief economist. There needs to be a wholesale different approach to this crisis. Mm-hmm. Public patience with continued belt-tightening wearing thin as misery increases and officials repeatedly push their predictions of economic recovery further into the future. Oh, I see. It's like the people here, they're right. We just haven't seen it yet.
Right. Just
if
wait.
We just keep doing it, like the House Republicans
keep hitting
want
yourself
to.
In the head with a hammer, and eventually it'll stop hurting.
No, keep doing it. Keep doing it. You're just not doing it right. The pressure may finally be starting to tell.
Is it working yet?
No!
Ow! There are signs some are rethinking their dogmatic pursuit of spending cutbacks and balanced budgets. Economists, U.S. officials, International Monetary Fund have all been making that same argument for months. Advocates of a more nuanced policy note that U.S. economic performance has easily outpaced Europe's and that Japan is witnessing a comeback. Both nations' central banks have sought to stimulate their economies. Same thing Bernanke's doing. That everybody has said is the... What we need to see is a stimulus coming from the countries that are... and less austerity from the weaker countries, according to another hot top economist there.
Right. Investing in renewable energy, which they are doing in Germany. Solar.
That argument has received short shrift, though, in the corners of power, particularly in Germany. Where
it's Angela Merkel, who's a conservative.
Merkel, has repeatedly insisted there's no alternative to cost-cutting. Can't George Bush go give her a back rub or something? Tell her to relax. Ease up on the austerity. As Europe's most powerful leader, she sets the agenda. Just about every independent economist I know thought the fiscal austerity programs would cause severe depressions at another time.
Well, they need to get the Social Democrats back in charge.
More pro-growth policies. Investment in big infrastructure projects, for example, could jumpstart faltering economies and help countries make the revenue they need to pay down their debts, according to analysts. So there. Hey, you know where Democratic policies have turned things around? Here in California.
Yeah.
Huh. Hasta la vista. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we will look at some of the Supreme Court stuff and more on the NSA as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Big Brother and the Holding Company. How appropriate for this NSA stuff.
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Breaking news from the Supreme Court this morning. Think Progress brings us the headline. Surprise! Justice Scalia strikes down Arizona's, right?
What?
Proof of citizenship to vote. Register to vote.
Wow.
In an opinion by conservative justice, hey, maybe he's going to surprise us on gay marriage. I'm getting happy clappy. On an opinion by conservative justice Antonin Scalia, a 7-2 Supreme Court held this morning that an Arizona law requiring voting officials to reject voter registration forms that are, quote, not accompanied by concrete evidence of citizenship conflicts with a federal law requiring states to use a uniform voter registration form for federal elections.
Wow. Wow. Maybe for once Clarence Thomas will say not what he said.
What? What the hell are you saying? Why have I been listening to you all these years? His authorship of this opinion, both unexpected and a sign of the weakness of Arizona's legal position in defending this law, a nice picture of Governor Bonefinger, who has to be in a state this morning.
J.B. phone home. J.B. phone home.
Remember that? That finger right in the president's face. Like I put that in my president's face. They're going to snap it off and shove it up Joe Arpaio's. All right, 1-800.
Well then.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Henry in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Henry.
Hi. Hey, we're Red Band Watchers. Thoroughly enjoy your show.
Thank you.
The NSA thing, you know, the president got the courts to approve with FISA. They advised Congress. But the big elephant in the room that nobody seems to be talking about is how does one branch get to decide what's secret and what's not secret? I mean, the thing most of us fear is a guy like Cheney or Bush. We trust Obama, but Cheney or Bush deciding what's, how come there isn't a congressional oversight of what gets classified?
That's actually another part of this. Interesting piece in the Daily Beast, PRISM and the NSA, something Congress can agree on. The center lives. Bipartisanship is not dead as Democratic and Republican congressional leaders rally around the National Security Agency's big data grab. With the exception of op-ed writers, the ACLU and the Pauls, Rand and Ron, Washington's establishment is standing together with the administration. Yeah, because Rand Paul, he just lacks credibility because it becomes like, oh, they're all scandals. It's all the same, Benghazi and IRS.
To lead a nation, you need not only legal authority, but you need moral authority. And I think this constellation of scandal shows that the president is losing his moral authority to lead this nation.
Yes.
Of course, constellations are imaginary constructs.
And who better to know than the Big Dip?
They're optical illusions.
See what I did there? Not the Big Dipper, the Big Dip. All right. Representative Paul Ryan, who I'm sure was saying the exact same thing during the Bush administration, right?
We are seeing the assault on our liberties. Mm-hmm. We are seeing what happens when you give so much power
oh, dear.
To a handful of bureaucrats.
Oh, heavens. Yes.
Oh, dear.
Okay. All right, let's go to Jeannie in Reno. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm good. I think that that people are missing the point, that it's not, we know that the government's been doing this for a long time, but unfortunately the government's not doing it so much anymore. They've outsourced it all to private firms.
Right.
And their security clearance, I mean, God knows who they're giving that to,
right.
You know, and so that's, and they're not held to the same standards as the government is. So they can, you know, everything they do has a profit motive behind it. So they can sell the information, they can do whatever they want with it, and they're not, you know, court-martialed for it.
Plus, right. There could be multinational corporations that have no interest.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, thank you, honey. Let's go to Dave in Madison. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie, dear.
Hello, darling.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
Almost 5 years since we've talked.
Oh, my God. You bastard.
Changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a lot taller.
First of all, real quick, I'd like to be the official heterosexual male who is not turned on by watching women.
Good for you. Yes, okay. That's a niche.
By watching two women at once.
That's a niche you've got there.
Okay.
Right, all right. I think, you know, I know that we don't see Squeezy all that much, but next time you run into him, just tell him to avert his eyes.
Yes, yes, I'm sure he will.
So you're saying you're having trouble inserting yourself into the action if you're watching.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Oh.
Anyway, as far as the NSA goes, I read this weekend, I believe on Think Progress, that the reason they are not attending these briefings is because once you have been briefed on a topic, you can no longer say anything. You can't say the truth. You can't say a lie. But if you do not attend the briefing, you're free to say whatever the heck you want to say. And that's why they want to keep being able to scream their lies.
Right.
So, yeah.
They're able to say, why, I never, this is not outrage, I have not been briefed on the, what?
Well, because you didn't show up.
Yes. Richard in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
I like you guys' show.
Thank you.
Watch it every day if I can. I only have a couple things to say. One is John McCain and Dick Cheney. Why are they guys still on TV?
Yeah, I don't really need to hear anything from Dick Cheney's thoughts on anything ever again.
Yeah,
in the history of ever. Do we have to hear it? I guess we should hear it one more time. Enough. Oh, he went on Fox News.
Yeah, imagine that. Wow, yeah, with Chris Wallace.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor. I think he has committed crimes, in effect, by violating agreements, given the position he had.
Look in the mirror.
He was a contractor employee, but he obviously had been granted top secret clearance. And I think it's one of the worst occasions in my memory somebody with access to classified information doing enormous damage to the national security interests of the United States.
Wow, what else
did his memory is
short. Damage to the national security of the United States. Who was in charge then?
Interesting. I was reading a whole piece about we were talking about the technology really is kind of the thing. They were saying that even right after 9/11, Microsoft have to deliver stuff by hand, the data.
Yeah.
The frenetic manual process was the forerunner to PRISM, the recently revealed highly classified NSA program that seizes records from internet companies. As laws changed and technology improved, the government and industry moved toward a streamlined electronic process, which required less time from the companies and provided the government data in a more standard format. It's interesting. And they were quoting the president, and I remember him saying this. He said, I came in with a healthy skepticism about these programs. My team evaluated them. We scrubbed them thoroughly. We actually expanded some of the oversight, increased some of the safeguards, which is what Michael Hayden said, who ran it under Bush and, under Obama. And then the thing about 100% security, 100% privacy. Obama's administration credited the surveillance with disrupting several terrorist attacks. Jason Weinstein, who recently left the Justice Department as head of cybercrime, said you can't expect a president not to use a legal tool that Congress has given him to protect the country. So Congress has given him the tool, the president's using it, and the courts are saying the way you're using it is okay. The checks and balances are at work. So, obviously that's one point of view, and other people think it's overreaching, but it just, as I said earlier, I love Alan Grayson. I don't see how you. His bill, as far as I can see, just says stop entirely. I mean, how can you do that? How can you have 100? Then we have 100% privacy, but what percent security is that if you're not screening any, phone or internet stuff?
It's a sticky wicket.
It is.
a phrase that will never
because
be overused.
Right. Because I used it. Now you think it's okay for you to use it.
Hey, I'm the one who said
yeah.
it first.
Well, now we're having a situation.
Another overused
right.
phrase.
Okay, it's 58 minutes
we'll circle around and come back to that.
Yeah! But at the end of the day. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. And you don't want to miss a minute, by the way, of this week because it is our pre-vacation week when the show generally becomes completely unhinged, as do the listeners, including Audra in Minneapolis.
It's that time again.
Yes.
It's vacation time for Stephanie and the Mooks.
Yep.
Wherever you're going,
time for her overwrought song.
We wish you well.
All right. Okay.
Wherever you're heading, we know you have to go.
Yes, we do.
Just one word of advice before you hit the road. Don't talk to strange ladies in airport bars.
Yikes.
Like you did once before.
Can I kiss you?
And even though it kills us to go. You on radio or TV, we all will survive. So farewell. We'll come with you.
Yikes.
Survive.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Thank you, Audra. Dear God. Kids, everybody. Uncle Hal will be here. Aunt Jackie. Pot roast in the freezer. One popsicle if you're good.
Have you put pot roast in the freezer?
Well, if you can, then we screwed
up
already.
If you reheat it, then it might... Well, whatever.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. We are... well, I guess Thursday might be the next time that there could be Prop yep. 8 or DOMA rulings from the Supreme Court.
10 a.m. Eastern.
Not today. But normally, as is the case, it will be while we're on vacation.
Right.
Because that would be the last week that it could possibly come down. However, Frank Bruni, one of my favorite writers in the... actually, you know what? I need your organ for this. Thanks so much. Mm. In the New York Times, on the Pope's gay panic. Remember, Jim, last week we talked about the gay lobby, which I think is the Liberace's lobby from behind the candelabra. The Pope mentioned the gay lobby.
Yeah.
Sleep tight, baby boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
This casket is waterproof and moistureproof.
Perfect. Frank writes, I have many questions for and about the gay lobby in the Vatican, but I'll start with this. How can you be so spectacularly ineffective? Despite your presence and presumed influence on the upper reaches of the Roman Catholic hierarchy, church teaching still holds that homosexuality is disordered, and many church leaders will still send the preposterously mixed message that while gay and lesbian people shouldn't be admonished or ashamed about their same-sex attractions, they should nonetheless elect cold showers over warm embraces. It's like saying you're a bird, but you can't fly, cracked Sister Janine. I love the nuns.
Ha!
The nuns are always wisecrackers, aren't they? His acknowledgement, rare for a pope and thus remarkable, of the church's worst-kept secret, a priesthood populous with gay men, even at the zenith, and that underscores anew the mystery and madness of the church's attitude toward homosexuality. If homosexuality is no bar to serving as one of God's emissaries and interpreters, if it's no obstacle to being promoted to the upper rungs of the church's hierarchy, how can it be so wrong? It doesn't add up. There's an error in the holy arithmetic. Cardinal Timothy Dolan earlier this year, remember, said to the gays, he said, God loves you. You're made in God's image and likeness. We want your happiness.
But you're going to hell.
Right. You're entitled to friendship. That's all you get. Good day, sir.
You get nothing.
Right. By
Good
the way,
day,
of actual,
sir.
By way of actual sex.
Right.
You get nothing. Frank writes, there's no way for a gay lesbian person not to hear Dolan's appraisal as something of a condemnation, no matter how lavishly it's dressed in loving language. It assigns homosexuals a status separate from and unequal to the one accorded heterosexuals. You're okay, but you're not really okay. Upon you, there is a special restriction, and for you, there is a fundamental dimension of the human experience that is off-limits, a no-fly zone of the heart. That is beautiful writing. I love Frank Bruni. A Supreme Court, talking about decisions coming down, smart money is on a toppling of the Defense of Marriage Act. We gay and lesbian people will be told you're okay, but it's up to the states to decide just how okay. Yeah, that's why I have a problem with the whole patchwork. This might...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, unless Scalia goes rogue again, like he did in the Arizona ruling. Who knows? The editor-in-large at a Catholic magazine in America told me he's seen thoughtful and not scientifically rigorous estimates that anywhere from 25 to 50% of Catholic priests are gay. His own best guess is 30%. Wow! That's thousands and thousands of gay. Rome is certainly one of the many theaters where the conflict between the church's ethereal ideals and the real world play out. Frank Rudy with some good thoughts on the whole... That's a lot of gays in the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
For the gay being so bad.
So strange with all their red shoes and dresses and funny hats.
Yeah.
Right. They do all dress surprisingly like Liberace and behind the candelabra.
By the way, Karen tweeted that that Audra song sounded like Stephanie had passed on.
Right. Yeah, it was very overwrought. It's really just a week vacation.
Are you still with us?
Right, I think so. We do it every 3 months. Everybody settle.
We have recorded every word you have ever said, so we could cobble together a show.
I could be a hologram now. I could be Tupac. You don't know. Who could say?
Who can say?
The technology these days?
I know.
Okay. NSA's been recording this for years.
We can make him better. Right. We can make him 3-pack.
Unless something goes wrong, like in Speed, and somehow you can suddenly notice that it's a loop tape.
Sure.
Who can say whether I'm dead? Hello.
And then you fall below 55 miles an hour.
Right.
And, you know.
And then the show crashes.
Yeah.
Lisa in Houston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Stephanie. How y'all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to talk really, really fast. Uh-oh. You know why the Democrats are paying a little bit too much attention to what's going on in the Republican Party? We are not looking at what's going on in our party. As I was telling the guy who's called, you know, I've had enough of Bill Clinton. If we're going to talk about Dick Cheney and them being quiet, we need to also point out to Bill Clinton that every time he comes out, this is his third time doing something against this president. And when you come out and you say something dumb like that, all you're doing is splitting the party, because Barack Obama does have a lot of followers. And we get tired of hearing him get beat down, and especially by Bill Clinton, who a lot of people don't remember, gave weapons to Osama bin Laden. So I don't think he's...
No, it wasn't Clinton. No, that was...
Who was the president in 93?
Was it 93? No,
yes,
it was before
93,
that.
93, also Clinton gave weapons to the group that was with bin Laden. Osama bin Laden.
Not sure that's true.
No, I think that's...
No, it happened earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, the Mujahideen, that was started in the 70s.
Yes. I'm not saying it's because Hillary sounds like she's running for president, but...
When women participate in politics, the effects ripple out across society.
Women?
Turkey?
What sort of women?
Yeah, I think Bill on this one might have been a...
Turkey?
A little bit. All right. Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike has sent us something for the gay, in regards to the gay lobby in the Vatican.
Let's all vote with our lobbyists.
Okay.
Let's all vote with our lobbyists. Let's all vote with our lobbyists and get ourselves a treat.
I'm sorry, I'm so informal.
Get ourselves a questionable hot dog.
Kevin in D.C. Hi, Kev.
Good morning, lovely Steph.
Good morning, baby.
I just have to say really quick, that Audrey song made me realize what a walking contradiction you are. You know, on air, your dancing makes Elaine from Seinfeld look like Beyonce and Janet Jackson. But
right.
As sexy liberal, the music hit and you soaked that alabaster ass like a champ.
That's right.
Then you turned down a kiss from a beautiful woman on the airplane and you smothered me with kisses. No wonder you've enthralled me for nearly a decade. I'm even using words like enthralled.
But well, you know, I've explained the danger when you taste brown sugar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It overcomes almost any barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm calling because I have a proposal to make. Anytime a right-winger comes on and this is his administration for the surveillance, when, you know, the hypocrisy is beyond the charts, there should be electric shock or they should fall through a trap door. I mean, does being Republican, you just have a gene where you have no sense of...
Wouldn't that be
no
fun? And if it made the same sound as SodaStream, just
shunk.
Oh. Yeah. There goes Daryl Issa.
Shunk.
Yeah, what? The only thing I'm pretty happy about is, according to polls, Americans are not falling for it either with Obama personally. They don't seem to be falling for it at this point. It just seems to them preaching to their choir.
Yep, absolutely. Wouldn't that be great? It makes the SodaStream sound, and then they fall on a bag of hammers like Dick Morris. Shunk. Goodbye, Daryl Issa. Just saying. Okay, speaking of which, Elijah Cummings, love him. Mm-hmm. He said the top Democrat on the House's Oversight Committee tells Ben Jacobs that Chairman Daryl Issa is scrambling to find the facts to match the allegations.
He's scrambling.
Yeah, scrambling.
Oh, scrambling.
He's
not
going
to do it.
He told the Daily Beast that the testimony yet to be publicly released shows the decision by the IRS to flag Tea Party groups seeking nonprofit status for extra scrutiny was, in fact, the brainchild of a Cincinnati-based screening manager rather than the political move coming from Washington that ISA has called it. What's more, he said the manager is a self-described conservative Republican who volunteered that information. They didn't ask him. He said he was.
Oops.
Cummings, who has yet to receive a response to the letter he sent ISA. Yeah, he's probably ISIS.
Yeah.
Getting to that.
Sure.
Asking for the manager's full testimony to be released this coming Monday ripped the committee chair for first offering inflammatory allegations and scrambling to find the facts to match the allegations. He claimed a number of reporters no longer trust ISA and now feel obliged to check with Cummings for the full story.
Almost like inventing a car alarm to help stop people
right.
like you.
Right.
Who were
right.
a car thief.
I think we need someone to do oversight on the House oversight.
They do appear
Chairman,
to need,
don't you think?
They do appear to need
yes.
some oversight. Yeah.
Asked to name one ISA-led investigation that had been appropriately managed and not politicized, Cummings paused. That's a tough question, he said, later adding, I don't want to say there were none. I just can't think of any.
Wow.
You are spectacular. Oh, Daryl Issa. You were just panic.
Yeah.
All
Someone
right.
tweeted that if we got a hologram, we'll know if it's not you if you start pronouncing things correctly.
Right. They'll be like, what? They fixed that in post.
What? She said posthumous instead of posthumous?
All right. 17.
Or posthumous.
17 minutes after the hour, Tom Brokaw talks about menstruation next. You don't want to miss that.
What?
Right? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. End of the world thing didn't work out so well.
No. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, how touching. You know, it was Father's Day yesterday. Tom Brokaw remembers daughter's menstruation in Father's Day letter. What? Oh.
I just think I'm going to buy.
Really? Yeah. Time Magazine assembled a team of famous fathers to write open letters to their daughters. Gawker says one of them was a passive-aggressive masterclass in embarrassment. Tom Brokaw segues into a litany of complaints disguised as Tory story time in his. His beautiful daughter, Andrea, careless with other people's belongings.
Andrea, did I yell when you left the keys to the family car in a back tire in the Bronx and it was promptly stolen? Maybe I would have been angrier had it not been just as promptly recovered. If, for example, the criminals had relocated the automobile to Philadelphia, that would have been less than desirable.
Right. His brilliant daughter, Sarah, hooks up with Dick Class A thieves. Sarah will always have that...
Always have that New Year's Eve when I encounter your boyfriend walking through our house drinking my precious Magnum Dom Perignon straight from the bottle. At least he didn't touch the 20-year-old Largo Vool.
And then he starts talking about their menses.
The physical changes, the onset of menstruation, the attitude of adolescent boys, the hair, the cosmetic, the shoes. And then the greatest gift of all, pregnancy and birth. The monthly cycle, ovulation, and, of course, the ritual consumption of the placenta. Good times. Spectacular times.
Oh, my God.
That's just weird.
I had to say placenta.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for that. Okay, I'm picturing that old placenta helper commercial. Okay. Wow.
It helps you stretch your food dollar.
Yeah.
In unrelated menstrual news, the L.A. Times this weekend, did you see this headline? Did menopause arise because men prefer younger women? Oh, bastard people. All of you, thanks a lot.
I'll tell you why I kept up with you people, because you're bastard people.
All of you, all of you. Mm. And by the way, in addition, your ass faces.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
I don't think he worries too much about premenstrual or menstrual
that
women.
Guy. Yeah.
No. It's not really his thing.
Yes, LA Times. Thanks
not
a lot,
bag,
guys.
Baby.
According to new research, your preference for younger mates could have caused menopause to arise in women.
Bull crap.
How that's bull dare crap. You. A team from McMaster University in Hamilton.
Well, they're never wrong.
They're McMaster. Of course, they can't be wrong.
Listen, don't you get started in your expertise on lady bits.
Yeah, because I have none.
Reported on an experiment that...
Does that mean you get your master's degree from McDonald's?
McMaster. McMaster.
They reported on...
I got a McMaster degree.
They reported on an experiment that suggested in evolutionary terms why women lose fertility as they age. In our theory, it's the consequence of a mating scheme where males change their preference to younger women.
Sure. Or it could just be your dried up old hag.
Right. I would...
That's
screw you!
What?
It gives you an opportunity to do my eggs coming out.
Of course, in the olden days, if you were 30, you were ancient.
Right.
That's so true.
I don't need another reason to hate men.
I mean, if you were in the Dark Ages, you'd be dead by now. Right. The bubonic plague would have gotten you.
Yeah, if it were in the Dark Ages, you wouldn't have a job.
This is true, and neither would you. They didn't have radio then.
Right.
What would you do? Court jester? Chicks weren't allowed to be court jesters back
Shout
then.
From the top of the
I don't
cathedral.
I look good in those hats. With no. The little bells. The little bells on the ends. Jester? Yes.
The king is a cuckold.
Funk. Fall with his head.
Chunk. Okay. All right.
There you go.
I had a little teeny pea brain, didn't I?
Yeah.
A little tiny head falling. I think that was the hamster head we used in Dead Ferret Walking.
That was the ferret head.
Right.
Because it was a dead ferret.
Right. I was like, get me the sound of a ferret head being chopped.
Wow. That was good.
Yep. Okay.
That's why you had a lot of production time. We could actually, like,
right, produce things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, here's another story about Republicans want to slap the food out of poor people's mouths. Food stamps under threat. House GOP wants to cut $20.5 billion from SNAP.
Wow.
Eleanor Clift writing in the Daily Beast. Right. No, she's right. With the House about to take up the farm bill, the Republican Party's ascendant libertarian wing is taking aim at the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
47 million Americans, by the way, receive food stamps. I hate to harsh all y'all's buzz, but most of them are white people. Wake up, white people. For decades since the 1970s, food stamps enjoyed bipartisan backing. With people like George McGovern and Bob Dole both championing the program. How about that? But House Republicans have a different mindset about food stamps and want to cut $20.5 billion over 10 years from SNAP,
right,
setting the stage for the kind of class-based and racially tinged debate about the poor that poisons
I guess
our politics.
Cut 100% of their salaries, then.
There you go. Representative James McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, said balancing the budget by making it harder for poor people to get food is a rotten thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
One would think...
Oh, snap.
Hey, speaking about racism, George Zimmerman's father blames Boston bombings on Eric Holder's decision to investigate Trayvon's death.
Right.
What made him conclude that?
George Zimmerman's father, Robert, has a new e-book out.
He has published
his own e-book. Florida versus Zimmerman, uncovering the malicious prosecution of my
malicious.
Son, George.
Help, I've got a gun.
Right.
Any idiot can write an e-book. Believe me, we get pitched that like every...
Oh, I have an e-book. Good.
Good. Whoops. That's... Wow.
Spam filter. The controversial text contains the bold claim that April's Boston Marathon bombing never would have happened had the FBI not been spending so much time investigating the death of Trayvon Martin.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's one case.
Yes.
They can do more than one thing at a time.
That is a bold claim, all right. Zimmerman directs most of the blame to Attorney General Eric Holder, who he says shamelessly hyped his son's alleged murder case to obtain a greater advantage in the African-American community.
Shamelessly
hyped?
Because
he clearly wasn't, he wasn't black enough. He needed more black cred, apparently. The e-book contains a chapter called Who Are the True Racists, which includes a list of black leaders and organizations that Zimmerman has deemed. All right. You're going to get your face in the blueberry pie in a minute. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I'm so sure I'm going to regret this, but who was I with?
The fun-loving and morally loose Miss
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, well, this is a top of my future husband list now. Uh-oh. Gawker brings us the story of William Barboza. Last year, he was caught speeding in the Village of Liberty in upstate New York. Upstate New Yorker, just like me. But he ended up being arrested after he mailed in his fine with a note reading, your town, bitches.
F your S-E town.
Right.
Huh.
Right.
Okay.
He mailed in his fine with a note. He crossed out the town's name Liberty and wrote in Tyranny instead. The county government replied to Barboza's message, telling him they rejected his payment and that he would be ordered to appear in court in Liberty. When he showed up, the judge lectured him about using foul language and had him arrested for aggravated harassment.
Aggravated?
All right. Well, that's a cautionary tale. Good to know. Don't write your town, bitches, on your speeding ticket.
Thanks.
Or whatever. Okay. Hey, I did not know that John Ratzenberger has become a right-wing douche.
Oh, yeah. What? He's been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. Clip from Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, 30% of right-wingers are in the postal service.
No, that's probably not true.
Wow.
That's probably the opposite.
While introducing Representative Alan West, Republican of Florida, on Friday at the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference, he remarked that the one-term congressman ought to spread elements of his gene pool across the United States.
No!
Oh, my God.
What does Ratzenberger think he is? Herman Cain?
He said we really should take something from his gene pool and put it everywhere across this great country.
Jeez.
Okay.
Whatever.
Alan West. Okay, then. Oh,
apparently he's the right kind of black guy.
I guess so.
Yeah. All right.
The Daily Beast it's another sad, sad cautionary tale for the GOP. The GOP's huge growing modernity gap.
Yep.
The modernity gap that haunted the Republican Party on election 2012 has since worsened. Demographics, attitude, pretty much everything. Technology continue to make the Republicans look like a bunch of out-of-touch relics of a bygone era. You know why that could be, Jim?
Because they're out-of-touch relics from bygone era?
That's right. That's correct. Yes. Okay. Hang on. Oops, that wasn't what I meant.
Computer says, yeah.
That's what I meant. Okay. A record high 30% of Americans now identify as socially liberal. Democratic-leaning single mothers are a growing portion of the electorate, and more Americans than not have an unfavorable view of the GOP. To top it off, in a report just issued by the college, you remember, which I was shocked there is a college Republican National Committee. Apparently there is.
Yeah.
That report indicted Republicans for being too close-minded, racist, rigid, and old-fashioned. And that could be, Jim, because they are
closed-minded, racist,
old-fashioned.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We already, exhibit number one, they're writing, we already touched on this morning, and that is Louis Gohmert, who is...
Gohmert.
Right. That's because he told a witness, this was the latest example, that it ended her pregnancy after having been advised the fetus was brain dead, that she should have carried the child to term. Eric Erickson, exhibit number two.
The guy's so douchey, they named him twice?
Right. You remember Megyn Kelly bitch slapped him into the middle of an election cycle for saying that when you look at biology, look at the natural world, the roles of male and female in society and other animals, the male, typically the dominant role. Oh, you know, he should marry that, what's her name, Miss Utah in the Miss USA pageant. She would agree with him, I think. I think he was talking about how 40% of all breadwinners now are females. In American homes, just saying, we found a wife for Eric Erickson. This was from this weekend's Miss USA pageant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a new. This will be a future Republican vice presidential candidate.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better. So that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Utah.
And
no,
who,
thank you,
who
Utah.
Who else to talk about creating education
oh,
better?
Oh, goodness. Utah, so proud this morning.
Because only men create education better.
All right. Thank you, Utah. Okay, exhibit number three, Phil Bryant, Mississippi's first-term governor, blamed working mothers for American illiteracy.
Sure.
Oh, exhibit number four, Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss attributed rape in the armed forces to hormones. Crazy, raging hormones.
You can't
hormones.
Spell hormones without whore.
No, you cannot. One only and technology gap, one only needs to look at the gap between the Obama and Romney campaigns to see where things stand. On Election Day, Team Romney deployed Orca, a failed, bloated, and beached technology. By contrast, the Obama data mining operation was revolutionary. Jeb Bush, by the way, commenting on the...
We got GOP. Beat because our brand is perceived to be tarnished, to be reactionary, to be too negative.
What is that, I wonder?
Rather than hopeful and positive.
Mm. That's it. It was positively awful.
Sure.
And now the new hope, the new great hope of the Republican Party, Marco?
Rubio.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen on immigration?
We're in the throes of this immigration debate, which is very conflictive and divisive in many quarters,
right.
including among people that are supporters of ours and of mine. But at the essence of our immigration policy is compassion.
Right. Which is why it's looking like shaky that they're going to actually get immigration reform.
Because, yes.
Because the Scarlet A people are back. Here we go.
If America's so bad, then why are people always trying to get in?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Okay. Yeah, that's creating a whole new civil war in what's left of the Whigs. I have Republicans.
Republicans don't have compassion. Therefore, they will not vote for anything like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. And even the worst news, I was mentioning this to Jackie all morning. Timothy Egan in the New York Times, million anecdote baby. What will happen if, in the end, Obamacare really works? Oh, no.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, no. Listen to this. This is exactly what we've been talking about ever since we started debating this whole Affordable Care Act. This is the, and we remember we were saying this is what they're most afraid of, these real-life stories.
Right.
That people are going to go, oh, it's good. It's not what Fox News has been saying for however many years. A friend of mine has an adult child with cancer, a young man just old enough to be beyond the age of coverage under his parents' health care plan. After nearly killing him, the dreaded Hodgkin's lymphoma is in remission, but he's still a pariah in the eyes of the insurance industry, which means they could deny him a policy that might save his life. Not for long. In 6 months' time, count it, 6 months, the heartless practice of refusing to let sick people buy affordable health insurance, private sector death panels, thank you. Remember, we always said those are the real death panels. Yes, will be illegal from shore to shore. I can't wait for Obamacare, my friend gushed the other day, and she's not alone. About 1 in 10 people with cancer in this country have been denied health coverage. The cartoon version of the Affordable Care Act, that much-loathed government takeover of 1/6 of the economy, is now moving from beltway gas bags and characterists into the hands of consumers. Its fate will be determined by the countless anecdotes of people who will apply the law to their lives. Oh, eek. As early indications are, most Americans will be pleasantly surprised. Millions of people shopping and comparing prices on the exchanges set up by states are likely to get far better coverage for the same or less money than they pay now. The law, as honest conservatives predicted before they orphaned their own idea, is injecting competition into a market dominated by a few big names, which is why it was Bob Dole's plan. That's why.
Bob Dole.
He also said his party, Bob Dole's party is.
Bob Dole's party. Backward.
Right. You won't hear this from the entrenched forces that have spent about $400 million denouncing the law on television ads like Carl Rove-backed Crossroads GPS. They have good reason to fear it. If Obamacare works, the game will be over. Game over, man.
Game over, man!
For those who oppose the most significant change in American life in a generation's time. But among the states that are actively building the foundations of Obamacare, that's the other thing that's going to happen. People like Texas are going to go, why can't we have it? California has, stupid Rick Perry, dummy. Right?
Right.
Okay, in the states that are actively building the foundations of Obamacare, the law seems to be doing what it was supposed to do. What? In Washington state, 9 companies have filed paperwork to offer policies in a region that long has been controlled by just 3 big entities. The surprise is that for many in the individual market, the premiums will be lower and benefits so much richer, said the state insurance commissioner there. Eventually, I can see the Affordable Care Act being embraced like Medicare. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
Because once people get used to this kind of coverage, it's going to be a pretty abhorrent thing to try to take it away. And we said that. How many times did we say that during this debate? In Oregon, brisk competition will mean real choice for consumers starting in October. A 40-year-old resident of Portland, for instance, can choose between one insurer charging $169 a month or another asking $422 for the same plan. What to do? Oh, I know, I'll go with the lower priced one. When those rates were first posted not long ago, same thing that happened here in California. Some of the companies requested a do-over so they could submit lower rates. Yes, lower rates. So much for a government takeover. Now they're like the polite chipmunks. Oh, no. Wait.
After you.
I have a lower rate.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Capitalism, isn't it dandy? In California, 13 companies will compete for the business of 5.3 million or so people expected to purchase insurance through the exchanges. Officials say the average monthly premium will be $321. That is $110 less than the national average predicted by the Congressional Budget Office.
Woohoo! I like cheaper.
For the majority of Americans, those with employer coverage, Medicare or Medicaid, little will change except that insurers can no longer put a lifetime cap on benefits. The biggest change, the one most likely to drive public perception, will be felt by people long denied care because of pre-existing conditions. Soon they will pay the same insurance rates as healthy people and get a second chance at life. As well, finally, there's a bonus opportunity for those stuck in jobs they hate.
Well,
looking at you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. This could be bad news for me. Holding on only because they need the health care for a take this job and shove it moment. Oh, boy. How many years has that been festering in you?
8.5
This might be your freedom.
8.5
Right?
Years.
Mm-hmm. Moderate income families qualify for significant
benefits
using the subsidies.
8.5 years of sleep deprivation.
Wee! Ooh, maybe we could find a nighttime show to work on. Then we could have our take this job and shove it moment.
Why did I open this can of worms?
Yeah, why did you? I didn't send you that story.
Of course, you can expect scare stories from Fox News alerts about higher premiums. These anecdotes will focus on young, healthy people with no coverage who will have to join the rest of the country in the insurance pool or pay a fine. Some employers will also choose to pay the government rather than insure their own workers, but you won't find too many of those listed among the best places to work. So there'll be other more competition in terms of good places to work. And you've already seen claims of skyrocketing premiums under a new plan, but those have been widely debunked as fraudulent comparisons between the bottom of the bin teaser rates of today and the substantial packages of coverage required in the new law. Jackie Schechner has been telling us all of this. It's a fascinating moment akin to the dawn of Social Security or Medicare. Oh, eek! For Republicans, Part 7000. Republicans in the last 3 years actually did the country a favor by wildly overstating the case against middle ground approach to getting the United States closer to universal health coverage. As in the 1935 and 1965, the ossified right is warning once again an impending end to American life as we know it. Thankfully, they're right. Timothy Egan in the New York Times. Good stuff! Which really the point of that whole story is Jackie Schechner is always right. Just listen to Nurse Jackie. Do it.
I'm just excited about having a take this job and shove it moment.
That's my only takeaway.
You're
fired.
Go swim in the open market. 47.
I love my job.
Sounds like an open sewer.
Yeah. Especially in radio. Good God.
47. Yeah. I may be the least crazy of anyone in radio, which is saying a lot. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Girl.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show up in here. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
How nasty are you?
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, wait till you see the new bump song I'm going to bring you. They played at my spinning class. Virtually incomprehensible. I love it.
No, okay.
Can I get a whoop whoop? Can I get a whoop whoop?
Here's what you're going to do.
What?
You're going to say to me, I want you to put together a bump song with that whoop whoop song.
Right. Can I get a whoop whoop? You know which one I'm talking about. All right.
I do not know which one you're talking about.
Hey, looky here. I have a new feature.
Does it have subliminal Nietzschean
right?
Yes.
Messages?
It's pretty much all the lyrics. Can I get a whoop whoop? And a what what? Okay. Wow, future. Come on. Is that not my future wife? Tanning mom. Tanning mom's in rehab.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa. Yikes. No, she's not in rehab. They put her in a drunk tank.
That is the greatest picture ever. That's going to be my screensaver.
Wow.
Tan mom sent to a Minnesota detox facility. A New Jersey woman, widely known as the tanning mom, you know.
Or saddle face.
Was sent to a detox facility after allegedly being intoxicated at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport.
It's intoxicated.
That is just that's the vortex of all evil, that Minneapolis
Airport. What do you think of that?
Right? Makes you gay and a drunk. I was neither until I got to Minneapolis Airport one time.
Let me be clear. I am not gay. I never have been gay.
I am not a drunk.
Right? Wasn't until
that's
the last
what
minute,
happens.
Until the last Minneapolis sexy liberal. Boom. Bam. Look at me.
You're drunk gay. Wow.
Yeah, the airport police were called to the Delta ticket counter, oh dear, because of an intoxicated woman. Mm. Oh, can you imagine encountering that? Yikes.
Yeesh.
Wow.
Did you hear her dance song?
I did not.
Oh,
what?
I
no.
What?
No. She, as you recall, was accused of child endangerment after taking her 5-year-old into a New Jersey tanning booth, because, you know, 5-year-olds notoriously pasty. They say intoxicated travelers go to detox if they aren't able to care for themselves. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I need to tone it down a skosh on my next flight, I think. Does she really have a song? Really?
It's Chad, Mom. Bitch, are you ready? It's Patricia. Bitch, here I come. I've got a message to use protection from the sun. Ha, 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 ha. I want to get my tan on.
Or
loser, I'm sexier than the teen mom.
Oh my God, it's Road Claire Mary.
Yeah, wow. Is that really her?
That's really her.
You know what? The world can't judge me. Show me a bold Jew. All right.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And
so that happened.
And it's accompanied with an even worse video.
Oh.
Oh no.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. All right, I may switch this vacation. I may switch from Transvaginal Bicurious Airline to a Spirit, because guess what? They have wine in a can.
Yes, they do.
Hip, cheap, no-frills wine in a can. The wine selection will include rosé Moscato, white Moscato, strawberry Moscato, peach Moscato, original red sangria, and original white
sangria. And hopefully an air sickness bag.
Yeah, aren't all
by.
Those like fortified wines?
Ooh, that sounds awful.
Like Mad
Dog?
You
know who drinks that crap? Oof. David Fender.
Really?
We were once at Rite Aid. He goes, I need to get wine. And he's like, I can get it here. I'm like, you can get your wine at Rite Aid? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right. Yeah, we were telling our college drunk stories, some friends and I, this weekend, and I did recount the one on the 405 on the
where
way back.
Where you threw up grasshoppers.
Right. What after Rocky Horror Picture.
Oh, okay.
Because we
that's
thought that seemed wise to stop and get grasshoppers. That
sure.
Creamed them in.
Where do you
cream
stop
drink?
And get grasshoppers? You need a blender to make a grasshopper.
Who can say, no, they come ready-made. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I've never heard of that.
Splat. I've never heard of that.
Splat.
No wonder you threw it up.
Come up on the lab and see what's on the...
Right.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, at least I'm not Keith Richards. Keith Richards defends heroin use. You know, he may not be doing a PSA for kids anytime soon.
I don't think so. It's enough of the kids.
I'm sorry, Keith? What?
It's enough of the kids.
Right. Oops.
Oops. Uh-oh.
What's happened?
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you high? You just knocked us off the air.
No, I did not. No.
It's the heroin.
Right. Know, he said it was part of his Protestant work ethic, and it helped him write songs.
That's right. Was,
the heroin. He said, I looked upon the body as a laboratory.
Laboratory.
Right.
For the emphasis in the wrong syllable. You would know that if you was on heroin.
I used to throw in this chemical, and then to no one would see what would happen, I was intrigued by that. When that one would work against another, I've got a bit of an alchemist in me that way, but all experiments must come to an end.
I did sort of piss a few people off. Names should go unmentioned, but his initials are Jick Magga.
Keith does not believe the drug did any damage. That's because he's the only one that can understand what Keith is saying.
No.
Claiming it actually made him work harder.
I've worked much harder.
Right. You listen up, kids. He said that he quoted Winston Churchill. He said, believe me, I've taken a lot more out of alcohol than it's ever taken out of me. I kind of feel the same way about the dope and stuff. I've got something out of it. He also says he hates rehab, and, well, who doesn't? And preferred to cut back instead of giving enough time.
Because I'd have to run into that horrible slag. Oh, what's the name? Little girl from the movie.
Right. Right. Okay.
Lindsay Lohan, that's right. The one.
Pay attention, guys. Uncle Keith is talking. All right, that's it for us. We will see. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.